Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Comedic actor, singer, and dancer Jason Graw returns to his hometown this weekend to perform a musical tribute to Broadway legend Jerry Herman. Graw, a graduate of Edison High School, sung on Broadway with the San Francisco Opera and cabarets like Feinstein's and Rainbow and Stars, and released recordings and acted in film and television. He's best known for his Broadway work on A Grand Night for Singing, Falsettos, Stardust, and Snoopy. His off-Broadway shows include Forever Plaid, which he helped originate, Olympus on My Mind, All in the Timing, and Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. He's also an active cabaret performer with numerous cabaret and one-man shows all over the country. His most current cabaret show with Faith Prince, the Tony Award-winning actress, The Prince and the Showboy, is making appearances around the country. And in recent years, he's been singing on operatic stages, taking comedic roles in operas like The Merry Widow and Deflatormouse at Los Angeles Opera, the Houston Grand Opera, and San Francisco Opera, to name a few. But Graw has long had an affinity for the music of Jerry Herman. In fact, one of his one-man shows was titled Perfect Hermony, which later became a CD. He joins up with two other veteran Broadway performers to present the Jerry Herman Songbook with the Signature Symphony tonight and tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Van Treese Pace. The show was actually put together by the Songwriters Guild ASCAP and is an official tribute show and will be performed with orchestras around the country later this year. These performances are a debut for the show. In the spirit of full disclosure, I should mention I am a member of the Signature Symphony, and Jason Graw is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Jason Graw, welcome back to Studio Tulsa, and welcome back home, too.
Thanks, Rich. Great to be home.
And it's been a while since you've been on the program, but we're glad to have you back and back performing in your hometown. Is that kind of a special thrill?
It's huge. I flew in yesterday from Los Angeles to Tulsa, and my heart tugged. It's quite emotional and quite heady. It's the first time I've been back here without my mom being here, Lois Weston. So I was a little emotional. Not a little, a lot emotional. But I love being home. I just love being back. It's my roots.
Well, you're doing this really interesting review of the songs of Jerry Herman with two other really fine performers. Mm. And this is a show you've been sort of evolving over the last year or two, but this is the first time you've done it with full orchestra, right?
That's right. It's really a kick. These other two that I'm working with, Debbie Gravitt and Clea Blackhurst, are just powerhouses. They're okay if you like talent. I guess they'll do. They're both two of the finest performers on Broadway, and we're having a ball together. And yes, this is the first time. This concert is brand new, and Jerry Herman is overseeing it, and he put the cast together. And it's just a kick in the pants. We had our first rehearsal last night. It went really, really well.
Yeah. We're all excited. Now, what role is Jerry Herman taking in this?
Well, Jerry's just kind of overseeing. He's the grand poobah. And so, you know, he helped cast it. It's being produced by ASCAP as well as by Spot On Entertainment. And Jerry, they went to Jerry, and he has kind of had final approval about the material and about the cast.
So this is sort of ASCAP's tribute to Jerry Herman in a way.
Yes. And really, the whole point of it that ASCAP got excited about and for Jerry was to take, you know, Jerry Herman's music and introduce a new generation to classical music theater, you know, the classical, the old school, the great musical theater. And not that today's isn't great, because there's a lot of brilliant stuff out there, but this is, you know, a little older. And I'm finding, as I'm traveling around the country, as I do, that a lot of the new generation aren't familiar with all of Jerry Herman's stuff. So, and that's a sin. He's the master.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is people know his music, but they may not know it's his music.
Exactly.
And they don't know it comes from one of his shows.
That's right. And you know, Hello Dolly was in the top 20 most played songs on the radio of the 20th century. You know, it's like behind like some of the Beatles hits. Hello Dolly was huge. And other songs like If He Walked Into My Life from Mame, you know, that Edie Gourmet had a huge hit single with. And so he's enormous, you know.
And what you put your finger on, he was the last of the Broadway composers who could write a hit song.
I think so.
I mean, when you talk, not a hit song for Broadway, but a hit song for pop music.
Exactly.
Right. And I think those songs are perhaps some of the last examples.
Yeah. And that, I mean, he was shocked when Hello Dolly, I mean, that's such a specific song for the show. And whoever thought that would have gotten into the mainstream, and a lot of it was partly to Louis Armstrong, you know, who made that a hit and as with his, you know, jazz rendition and his trumpet playing and all that, and Edie Gourmet bringing this very specific song, If He Walked Into My Life, about Mame singing it about her nephew, you know, and then this became such an incredible hit. But the songs that he wrote are just so incredible. He doesn't know how to write a bum song, you know, everything he wrote. For the brilliant shows, Hello Dolly, for Mame, La Cage aux Folles, Mac and Mabel, you know, and some of the lesser known shows, The Grand Tour, which I got to do in Los Angeles, and Milk and Honey, which was his first show. All of the songs are gems.
And what I love about Jerry Herman is he is sort of the end of one era, and he's the beginning of a new era in Broadway. You know, when you think of Hello Dolly, Mame, and Mac and Mabel, that's sort of the end of that big, showy,
splashy
shiny, jingly Broadway, if you will. And, you know, big, over-the-top, huge. And then La Cage aux Folles brings in this whole other idea that is now swept through Broadway, which is the idea of taking other source material, which Broadway always did, but hit movies, hit television shows and making musicals out of them. And yet I think nobody's ever done it better than La Cage aux Folles.
Yeah, that's one of the very, very best. The producers we were talking about also is just a prime example of that. But, you know, La Cage aux Folles, too, was Jerry had taken a break because he had had up to La Cage aux Folles, his shows, he went through a period where his shows were not the huge blockbusters. He was so spoiled by the huge blockbusters.
Commercially successful would be the word.
Yes, commercially quite successful. Hello, Dolly and Mame just were through the roof. And Milk and Honey did quite well. And, you know, then he went through a period with Dear World and Mac and Mabel and The Grand Tour, which are all fabulous shows, but they just didn't hit. They were different types of shows for Jerry. And so then he kind of took a little breather from it all.
He was like an interior designer.
Oh, he's a brilliant interior designer. He went to Parsons School of Design, and he buys and sells houses. He flips houses faster than I go through directors. But then La Cage aux Folles hit, and it was enormous. And it was really groundbreaking, La Cage aux Folles. Here was this musical about a gay romance, you know, and it was hugely groundbreaking. They were a nervous wreck. And it tried out in Boston, a very conservative Catholic city, and they were all scared out of their minds.
It was 1983.
Yeah,
and we think how far the world has come, how risky that show
was. It was risky. It was risky, and it was a huge, huge hit.
So when you're putting together this review, what are the songs that have to make the cut? And did you find some hidden things that you just hadn't thought about in a long time or never heard before?
You know, I've been working so closely with him since 2000 on. I've been on tour with him, and I've done shows with him. I did Mac and Mabel at Lincoln Center with him, and I did his PBS special. So I have been just a Jerry Hermanophile. And I did this one-man show called Perfect Hermony, and I really went through everything that he, you know, wrote. And I'm telling you, it could have been a six-hour show because it's hard. It was really hard to whittle down into an hour and 15-minute show, Jerry's greatest songs, you know. And so you just basically just have to choose the ones you want to do because they're all so good. There are some – I have discovered unknown treasures from Ben Franklin in Paris.
What?
I know. He wrote some of the songs. He didn't write the whole score, but he
so
came in.
So this would have been a review?
Or was this
another musical where he sort of was the song doctor?
He kind of came in and helped along. I can't remember. It's terrible that I can't remember. I want to say Harold Rome, but I'm not sure if that's true.
No.
But his Broadway debut was Milk and Honey, and there's some fabulous – we're doing one song from Milk and Honey in the show, Shalom, and that was his first big Broadway musical.
And this was about the creation of Israel.
Yes, yes. And what's so funny, you know, Jerry is just Americana plus. I mean, he is all American, you know, red, white, and blue all the way. And after he made his Broadway debut in Milk and Honey, David Merrick was having auditions for Hello Dolly to have the composers for it. And so Jerry – wrote three or four songs and played them for Jerry, for David Merrick. In his office, he had his best friend come and sing the songs. And David Merrick thought that Jerry was too ethnic. And after Milk and Honey, that he'd written this very, you know, Israeli-themed, very Jewish haunting melodies and things like that. And he thought, gee, I don't know if you can be all American enough for my show, Hello Dolly. He proved him wrong.
Yeah. And of course, you know, in that particular show, just about every song in the show is practically a hit.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? And then It Only Takes a Moment has had a whole brand new life because of WALL-E. Remember WALL-E? Yeah. That was such a huge blockbuster, and he learns how to love by watching this old tape of the movie of Hello, Dolly, Michael Crawford singing It Only Takes a Moment to, you know, Irene Molloy. So then it became like a whole brand new show. And Jerry got a whole new brand new money.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about a Jerry Herman song. It can sit for 45 years and find a new audience. Yeah. And I assume this is what that review's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Tell us a little bit about the folks that are co-starring with you in this review. Clea Blackhurst and Debbie
Gravitt.
I've heard them both sing. I think Clea, I mean, she has that old school Broadway sound. It's clear as a bell.
Yeah.
It's not surprising to know that she did a review about Ethel Merman. She could do Ethel Merman. She doesn't do Ethel Merman as a course, but she's got that clear, beautiful voice.
It's amazing. It's amazing because her tribute to Ethel Merman is just really fantastic, and she's got incredible stories, the research she's done on it. But she's one of the few people that can stand up there and do an Ethel Merman review because she's got the pipes. Plus, she can really act, and she's got a lot of heart to her. But she did Hello, Dolly! At Goodspeed Opera House several years ago and had great, great success with that. And so we've worked together a lot in concert, and we just did a Jerry Herman tribute to Sarasota Opera House last week, just the two of us, and just had a complete ball. I love her. And Debbie Gravitt, you know, won a Tony Award, if that's, you know, any sort of exciting thing for you. And she's amazing. I've done so many shows with her, and she's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. And they're both like, I mean, this is going to be some serious singing between these two girls. They've got huge voices, and I think some paint might be peeled off the wall this weekend.
My guest today is Jason Graw, Tulsa native, Broadway performer, off-Broadway, opera houses, reviews, cabarets. You do a cabaret with Faith Prince.
Yes.
And television and other things as well. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Signature Symphony will be presenting the Jerry Herman Songbook. This is their first full performance with an orchestra in this new review commissioned by ASCAP as a sort of official tribute to the Broadway composer. It takes place tonight and tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the TCC Pace. And let's go back. You grew up here, Edison High School. And in the show, we're going to find out that not only were you a triple threat back at Edison High with the singing, the acting, and the dancing, but you were a quadruple threat, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Would you like to share?
Yes. Well, you know, I was an oboe player, and I started playing in sixth grade at Robert E. Lee Elementary School. And I really wanted to play clarinet. I had a weird name, Jason Graw. No one could spell it. No one was named Jason back then. That was before Jason was a cool name. And I just wanted to play something that everybody else was playing. And the band teacher talked my mom into, I guess I did well on my, you know, music aptitude test, whatever. So they talked me into playing oboe. They filled me with compliments because they needed an oboe player in the thing. So I was a vulnerable target. So I started playing, and I was the best oboist at Robert E. Lee Elementary School. By a long shot, I was the only one. And then I got very, very serious about it, and I played with the Tulsa Youth Symphony for 5 years, eighth grade through my senior year of high school, and played at Edison and all the bands and orchestras. And I was principal oboist in the All-State Orchestra for 3 years, and I loved it. And I studied with Walter Kessler, who was the principal oboist in the Symphony Forever.
Yeah.
And he was the greatest. I loved him so much. And somehow I managed to never make an oboe read the whole time I studied with him. He spoiled me rotten because I was also singing and dancing at Tulsa Little Theater and doing all the school plays, and I was very overextended. And not so great in geometry, but I was doing a lot in the arts. And so he'd always kind of make me a read, and I did really well with him. Then I went to college, and my teacher wasn't quite so generous.
And he said, you got to make reads.
You got to make those reads.
And you said, are you kidding?
Don't you know who I think I am? I do not. Walter Kessler made me great reads. So those reads are a pain, man.
Yeah, they are.
Ugh. For every 20 reads you make, they say like one or two come out right.
Right.
And I was like, I got other things to do.
Now, obviously, you were doing song and dance musicals and theater at a young age, if you were doing it with then Tulsa Little Theater.
Tulsa Little Theater on Delaware.
Theater Tulsa now.
Yeah.
So you caught the bug early.
I caught it early. You know, my mom was a professional dancer in New York. And so I was born in Chicago, and she did community theater there. And I saw her do Wonderful Town when I was 4 years old. And then we moved to Oklahoma when I was 5, and she did Gypsy at Lyric Theater in Oklahoma City. She played Tessie Tura, the stripper.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. That was like pretty much what sent me.
Seeing your mother.
Seeing my mom, you know, playing Over the Hill ballet dancer stripper. I was like, this is for me. And then I got to do it with her at Tulsa Little Theater. She did it again, and I was one of the newsboys alongside Sam Harris. And so who knew what the future was going to bring, you know, with all of us. But that was always on the, you know, my true passion. But I loved playing oboe, and I loved the Youth Symphony. And Ron Wheeler was my pop icon, rock star. I put him on a pedestal, not just because he was short, but because we all loved him so much.
And, well, in this show, we're going to see the oboe come back.
I am bringing that oboe back. I think it's only fair that my parents spent thousands and thousands of dollars on oboe lessons. I thought that I should at least play a little bit when I make my Tulsa return.
Well, talk about the particular songs you're going to do in the show. They're all great hits. What do you look forward to most out of the songs?
Well, this is kind of a new concert for me because I'm doing a lot of ballads in this one. And I love doing, you know, funny stuff and perky stuff. But the first song that I do will be quite perky and funny. And it's from the Grand Tour, which is...
Which you got to do.
I did.
Did you do that song in the show?
I did. It's a duet in the show between Jakubowski, who's a Polish immigrant, and this colonel, who's very stodgy. And they're polar opposites. And the whole show is about these two that are trying to survive the Nazis. And they're on the run from the Nazis. And they're an unlikely combo. And by the time they hit You I Like, they really hit an understanding of each other and really care about each other. And it's very moving in the show. I don't know that my version is so moving, but I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And our maestro is so up for anything. He is a riot. Do I love him? He's just great. He's just like in on the shtick, and he wants to play, and he wants to be part of the song. And so we're going to have some fun roughhousing each other.
My guest today is Tulsa native Jason Graw, who comes back from L.A. And right now you've been doing cabarets, you've been doing reviews, you've been doing an occasional show. You have a world premiere show coming up. I think it's a Christmas show in San Francisco.
Yes.
And he will be with Signature Symphony along with two other singers in the ASCAP-sponsored Jerry Herman Songbook, its official tribute show, which really has its debut. You're going to be doing other cities, I think Phoenix, Milwaukee, and other
Naples,
symphonies.
We go to Naples Philharmonic next week. Mm-hmm. But you guys get the world premiere. So we're very, very excited about that.
And that takes place tonight and tomorrow evening at 7:30 at The Pace at the TCC Southeast Campus. And Jason Graw is my guest today. I want to talk about something that I think the last time we talked, it's been a number of years, but I don't think you were doing at the time, or maybe you were, and I just wasn't aware of it. You've been doing opera. They're operettas.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been doing the comic roles in operettas. I think you have had a Michigan Opera Theater.
Just did Merry Widow at Michigan Opera Theater with Deborah Voigt.
Yeah.
In the title.
Now, how did you get started doing that? Is that something you've been doing a while?
You know, it's a crazy turn of events, Rich. But I had auditioned for the Merry Widow up at San Francisco Opera. And the director, the role I was auditioning for wasn't available, and he offered me the understudy. And I said, absolutely not. I don't have the ego to sit there in the wings. There's got to be somebody to understudy. I have understudied in my life before, but it's not easy. You know, you sit there, and you watch, and you take notes, and it's a little dry. So I said, no, thank you. And then they did it at Los Angeles Opera, produced by Placido Domingo. And he called and said, well, would you be willing now to do the role at LA Opera? And I said, now that I would be very interested in. And it's this great part. It's the role of Niegush, who's the secretary to the embassy, to Baron Zeta. And he's kind of the mastermind behind the whole thing. It's such a crazy plot. And I actually have a number. Placido called it an aria. He said, oh, you have an aria in Act 3. And I was like, I'm singing an aria? Because that's so not what I'm about. But it's this great Hat and Cane number called Tre Parisienne that was lifted from another Lehar operetta. So doing that, I got to do it twice there, and I've worked with Carol Van Ness and Susan Graham and Frederica von Stade and Deborah Voigt and, like, all the really great, Ruth Ann Swenson, like, really great opera singers. I'm so not an opera guy. And I just did Die Fledermaus at Houston Grand Opera and with Susan Graham, and I did it at San Francisco Opera and Washington National Opera. So kind of a two-trick pony, but I'm so happy to be doing
We're going to ride those ponies.
I'm going to ride those ponies as long as they'll have me because, you know, it really, for me, ties in my classical roots. You know, I was an oboe major for – I lasted one whole year. And so I love the grandiosity of it. I love the gorgeousness of the singing, and I love the shtick and the fun of it. And it's also really nice to do a show and then take 3 days off until your next one. Come on. They're so much smarter than we musical theater types who are doing 8 shows a week. So I take my hat off to those opera types.
No, just after you do these next couple of shows, you're going to be in rehearsals for this new play.
Or yeah.
Is it a musical?
It's a new musical.
Sort of a Christmas piece, right?
It's very much of a Christmas piece. It's a brand new musical that Larry Grossman, who wrote Snoopy, that I did with him on Broadway, and he wrote Minnie's Boys and Grind and Good Time Charlie with Joel Grey. So this is a new musical that he wrote, and Dwayne Poole, who's a great TV writer, and Kellen Blair, who just got a lot of attention for this new show, Murder for Two. And so it's called Scrooge in Love, and I play Scrooge. I've crossed over officially. And I was thinking, like, I'm way too young to play Scrooge, and I Googled Scrooge, and he's actually in his early 50s, so it turns out I'm too old to play Scrooge. So that was really comforting. So this picks up a year after Scrooge has found his
Christmas joy.
Lights, yes. Found his Christmas joy. And so they come back, and he's like, what? Again? And so they're concerned that Scrooge has no love in his life.
I love the way that Scrooge turned Jewish there.
He's
for
a little Jewish. Haven't quite mastered the voices yet. But, you know, he's all encompassing, I think, my Ebenezer. But so this is him going back in his past to see, you know, he had an opportunity with the first love of his life, Belle, and he kind of blew it. And so they're bringing him back to see if he can make amends with this. And it's a whole brand new show. And it's funny. The writer, Dwayne Poole, is such a funny writer. And it's got a kind of very modern sensibility. And the songs are great. There's I have 10 Patter songs. I just heard them all a week ago. And I went, kill me now. I don't know how I'm going to memorize all these. But yes, we start in a week.
Now, you've been involved with original productions like that before, Forever Plaid, perhaps most notably around here, because it was done an awful lot around here.
Yes.
And what's it like when you're going through that new process? Do you have any clue prior to seeing it before an audience whether it's going to go or not?
No. I mean, no, I don't. There are things that I've worked on in New York that, you know, I started from scratch and I thought, oh, God, this is a turkey and I need to get out of here. And it was a huge hit. The actors involved in the show usually are the last to know. And then there's other things that I just believed in so much and thought were so great. And ultimately, by the end, they didn't run for whatever reason. Forever Plaid, we were rehearsing in the guy who played Jinx's apartment in New York. We would have, like, we'd order pizza and have beer and sit around and we'd sing and we'd like come up with bits and we'd laugh. We just had a great time working on it, but it was just kind of fun to do. And I had no idea when we were rehearsing that in Stan's apartment in New York City that it was going to turn into the phenomenon that it did, you know. And when those things happen, it's really nice. Yeah. I have to say, it's much more fun to be in a hit than a flop.
I would imagine, especially one you really believe in, and people are just walking away going,
yeah, didn't quite.
How do you get through the just that deflation of something you put your soul into, and people are just saying, well, okay, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, that's why God invented vodka. So, you know, it's just part of the biz. It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster, you know, and pretty much everything that you do, you know, things that I get involved with, you have to believe in them. There's been certain scripts that I've read that I thought, I'm not sure if this is great. And then once you start working on it and you work with the cast and work with the director, you really have to believe in it. And so you start to believe in it, you know, and you got to make it work. And then it becomes great in your eyes, you know. And then maybe it's not great in everybody's eyes, but it's part of the biz. No one's immune to it, unfortunately.
Now, the other thing you're usually doing I know you just finished a review, or maybe you're sort of in the middle of doing a review, your 49 and a half shades of Grah. That's just the other thing, is you're coming up with the next sort of review or the next cabaret show.
Yeah, they're all like my one-man shows that I do around, and I love
the 49 and a half shades.
Do you like
of Grah.
That? It's kind of old news now. It was so kind of mod and different 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But it's just autobiographical, and I have had a ball working on it. I love doing that kind of stuff. For me, cabaret and one-man show stuff is just the ultimate freeing performance style, because when you're doing a show, when you're doing an opera, when you're doing, you know, a theater piece, television, anything, you've got to be in the confines of the role, in the director's vision. You got to say what's on the page. You got to make nice with everybody and do, you know, serve the writing and the director. And when I'm doing my own stuff, it's just like breaking out of the straitjacket and just doing what I want to do. And I like that.
Is there still a thriving cabaret scene around the country?
Yeah.
I mean, we think of New York City as being sort of that major repository.
It is.
I assume L.A.
L.A. is doing well. We've got a lot of really nice cabarets going on in L.A. right now. And San Francisco's got several that are good, and Chicago. You know, more and more cities are building it. It's not the easiest sell. You know, it can be pricey and for the audience. But for me, it's a means to doing concert work around the country. So if you do something in New York and L.A. and get nice reviews for it, then other people take notice of it around the country, and they'll do it in their theaters, and, you know, it's actually a nice lucrative living.
Yeah, and you have another one that's up and running, and I think it's you've got a couple more dates with that, and that's the one you've been doing with Faith Prince.
Yes, yeah.
The Prince and the Showboy.
Yes, I would be the Showboy.
The Prince and the Showgirl.
Yes, thank you for knowing that. Everybody doesn't know what that's a takeoff of, the Marilyn Monroe, Laurence Olivier movie. But we did that. We did it at 54 Below and have done it all over the country. And we went to college together, and then we did 3 off-Broadway shows together, Olympus on My Mind, Living Color, and I Love You, Jimmy Valentine. And so this has been a ball coming together and doing this. And we're going to bring it back to Los Angeles after Christmas.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with all of your items. And we've gone through the list of everything it takes to be, you know, that comic Broadway performer or musical theater performer. I mean, you're doing everything from full musicals to reviews to cabarets to occasional operas, slumming with the opera.
You know, we try to keep it sophisticated every so often.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing the Jerry Herman review tonight and tomorrow at the Pace at the TCC with the Signature Symphony. You wanted to mention something?
I was going to say, like, I'm like the balladeer in this. So it's actually kind of a trip. Last night I'm singing Song of the Sand from La Cage aux Folles, which is so beautiful, which I had no idea what that song meant when I was a kid. And now that I'm older, it kills me, because it's about old love and remembering your first time out. And it kills me now. And I remember the first time I saw it when I was in my 20s, I was like, what the hell does this song mean? And so I get to sing that, and I get to sing I Won't Send Roses, which is Mack Sennett's love song from and he doesn't know how to say I love you. So this is Jerry Herman's tribute to Mack, a love song for Mack, who cannot say I love you to Mabel. And it's really a special song, and I wouldn't normally get cast to sing it, so I'm thrilled to sing it in the concert.
Jason Grah, thanks very much for joining us.
Rich,
and welcome.
Thank you. Great to see you again. Thank you.
Jason Grah speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He returns to his hometown this weekend with 2 other veteran Broadway performers to perform a musical tribute to Broadway legend Jerry Herman. The Jerry Herman Songbook takes place with the Signature Symphony tonight and tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Van Treese Pace. For ticket information, visit signaturesymphony.org or call 918-595-7777. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.